Hello, hello. This is Charlotte and welcome to Call Me Negotiator. Well, I have to admit that there's nothing to do with negotiation today because we have our new guest, Connor, and we're going to talk about those really viral, amazing video game from China called Black Myth Wukong. Right, like, I mean, to be honest, I don't really play video games, but like, I was obsessed with the visual and everything else, like the storytelling, and I'm just like so proud of how amazing it is. Like, that was the first one, right? Like, Connor, do you have anything to say?
It's a huge game. Also, hello, Radioland. Thank you, Charlotte, for having me on your show. It's really nice to be able to be on this program and talk about things. I have a strong interest in Chinese culture. I've been to mainland China a couple of times, Taiwan, Hong Kong as well, and Black Myth Wukong was kind of the first really big budget Chinese developed game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know that.
Yeah, and it was made by a game development studio in Shenzhen called Game Science.
Yeah, right.
So Shenzhen is kind of the high-tech capital of mainland China, and it's in the Guangzhou area, so Canton area, and it's just north of Hong Kong in mainland China, and it's where a lot of high-tech companies and video game companies and design happen, and Black Myth Wukong came out last year in 2024. It's what's called an RPG, a role-playing game, so you assume the role of a character, in this case, Sun Wukong, who's an ancient mythical character in Chinese mythical history, and it's inspired by the classic novel Journey to the West.
Right.
And Charlotte and I were talking a little bit about Journey to the West last week, just off air, and it's a novel that actually is quite a lot older than people think, and it's from around 1590s, 1600s kind of thing. It's set in the Tang Dynasty, so it's set in like 600s, 700s AD.
I have no idea. Like, educate me, please.
Yeah. but it was written around, it says around 1592 and written by Wu Chang'en. And Journey to the West is an account. It's a fictionalized tale that's based on the story of a Buddhist monk, Xuanzang, and who went on a journey from China to India in the 7th century to collect a lot of sutras of the Buddhist faith, because he felt that the translations in mainland China were not accurate.
Mm.
So he wanted to go and collect the real things from India, from the heart of
Buddhism. So he actually... Wait, you're talking about the author, or you're talking about the...
The character.
The character,
Character. So the character in there is based on an actual... pilgrimage of a monk.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really awesome. Like, I think for a lot of you guys, if you ever played video games, you definitely have ever heard of it. Like, it's on Steam, right? Steam.
Yeah, it is. It's on a couple of different things, and it is a huge, huge, huge game. And it was... what did it say here? Fastest selling games of all time. It sold 20 million copies in its first month.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, that sounds really cool. Well, like, maybe for some of you guys, if you have never played video games just like me, I think you probably would have heard of this. But I have to say, like, if you never heard of this, the way I would introduce this to you today is to start with background music, because they really use the new way to remake the music. And Connor is also a musician, professional musician, so I think he probably can introduce more the technique thing about the music too. So before we play the music, I want to just... share that if you're interested in our show, if you are interested in the cross-cultural communication and talk about the viral thing and funny thing between especially China and East, let's say West, and which is North America, because we're based in Vancouver, Canada, and we're live every Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m. Vancouver time on CJSF 90.1 FM, or listen live at cjsf.ca. You can also watch on WeChat live stream under 野蛮生长夏洛特. Okay. Right. Okay, let's just... wait, what's the name of this song, Face What I Truly Am. Oh my God, yeah.
Yes, Face yeah. What I Truly Am. So the soundtrack is really good because a lot of games have gone back and started to incorporate instruments from the culture of the game that they're playing.
Mm.
So Black Myth Wukong has a lot of classical Chinese instruments, a lot of orchestral style, but done in Chinese instrumentation. If people have seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, one of the greatest films of all time, an Ang Lee film,
yeah.
They used an orchestra, but it was composed in the style of classical Chinese music.
Okay, I can't wait. Okay, let's play it. Hello, welcome back. That soundtrack was really good. That was not even the main thing.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, like, but I mean, I'm just like so amazed how, I have no idea how much money they put in, but I know that they got support from a lot of like meme media in China.
Mm-hmm.
So for the people on the WeChat live streaming, and if you have never see Wukong before, and this is what they look like, yeah, that's really cool. I would say the way that they say, hey, how do you feel like you face what you truly am in China, in Chinese they call 直面天命, which means like you have a mission,
mm-hmm.
that is like signed by the universe,
mm-hmm.
and then you just gotta find it and face it.
Yep.
Ready? Yeah. Anything goes.
And I just looked up the budget here. It said it was built on a $70 million budget, U.S. dollars, so a significant amount of money, and funded by investors, but also Zhejiang Provincial Tax Service cited a statement saying over 300 million RMB. So that's a lot of money, for
I
sure.
Know. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think this is how, you know, Chinese. So last time Connor required to learn some Chinese, I would say like his Chinese is pretty amazed me a lot, like, but he wanted to learn some new thing like Sichuanhua,
mm-hmm.
or Chengduhua,
mm-hmm.
But like now I'm going to Well, teach you one word that called how hardworking in Chinese. We have this spirit, like we are very diligent because it's very competitive society. So if you ever trying to describe the hardworking culture in China, you can only say one word called juan.
Juan.
Like juan.
Yeah. Juan.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Which means like, it's like, we wouldn't say like you're hardworking, but we would just say you're so juan. Like, so this is pretty much the reflection of the Chinese culture. It means like, oh my God, that's so competitive and you put a lot of work to make it so good. So you're competing until the top. And that is how I think nowadays we complain about it, but we also loved it. I heard that you had experiences traveling China a long time ago. Share some of the experience with us,
please. So I've been to mainland China two times. First was in 2011. I went to Shanghai, and after that I went to Seoul, Korea. But I was in Shanghai for about 6 days,
right?
And it was awesome. That was my first experience being outside of North America, and it was really, really cool. My dad had been traveling for business in Asia many, many times, and he'd been to Shanghai a lot. But we landed at, I guess it was the Pudong Airport, and then you take the train all the way into Shanghai. We stayed kind of near the high-tech park on the east, on the Puxi side of the river. Mm-hmm. We did go in, we checked out the Bund. That's a really cool part of Shanghai, and at that time, it was built up, but not as much as it is now. And that was a long time ago, maybe 14 years ago.
14 years ago.
Yeah, my first time to China. So that was a lot of fun. I had some amazing food. I had a lot of good Shanghai cuisine and Jiangsu style cuisine. Worked on my Mandarin a little bit, so it's getting better. And then about a year later, a friend of mine who's in a band here in Vancouver, they were touring as part of a fashion show.
Okay.
So it was a fashion show, but they wanted to have live music while the models actually walked the runway.
Okay.
So I was a drummer. They needed a drummer to play in the band. And I said, I would love to go back to China. So we went to Shanghai. We went to Dalian in Liaoning, way up north, in the northeast of China. We also went into your province, into Sichuan.
Yeah.
And we went to three cities. We went to Chengdu, which is the one of the largest cities there. Meishan, and also Leshan as well, too. And I really fell in love with Sichuan. It is a totally different culture, totally different vibe when it comes to, you know, the food, the language, the history, the martial arts, the art, the performance, all of that kind of stuff. And I had such a fun time in Chengdu, and we saw the old city, and you know, there's that market that's kind of styled like an old style city, and they've got the canals. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, wait, but like, was that a tour? Like, how could you even travel so many places, more places than I did?
we were touring for a whole month. So I was there for several weeks, and we would spend a few days in each city and perform live, as well as be able to go out and explore and have dinners and meet with people and really kind of have a good cultural exchange. We had people from Canada, the U.S., the United Kingdom, China, as well as Malaysia and Singapore. So, it was a international cooperation kind of thing.
Oh, wow, that feels like a part of the tour, like the journey to the West, but like you were just
journey to the East. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so good.
Well, yeah, like talking about the journey to the West, like, you can see the picture right here. That's how I printed. And for Chinese people, we usually watch this TV show. Have you ever watched?
A little bit. It's so good.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're very impressed because for us, like for me, the reason I watched it is because I grew up forbidden, banned to watch TV. Mm. Because with our study, our school was really stressful. However, I could just have a break and standing next to my grandpa when he was watching TV, and he was literally taking circulation. I'm not so sure, like, he always watch this all the time. So I'm pretty sure a lot of other Chinese people are like that too. For some reason, I was tired of it, but at the same time, I can keep watching it forever.
Yeah.
So we're very impressed that so people like you and also other streamers, they're watching this Shiyouji Journey to the West. How do you feel about it? Like,
For me, it has a style of TV and production that is just it's just inherently Chinese. I can't compare it to Western or European shows. It has its own flavor and its own style. And it also, I think for a lot of us here in the West, we got introduced to Chinese culture in media through things like wuxia films. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, also Jet Li films. There's a lot of Hong Kong films, Xiangang films. But also a lot of TV dramas, especially in the last 10, 20 years or so.
Really?
TV dramas have gotten a lot more popular now that you can stream them online. A lot of people are starting to watch more Mandarin dramas and Cantonese dramas.
Wait, what are they? Because I want to know, like, I had some friends when I was in the U.S., and they love to watch some really, how would I say, like, used to be a K-drama line, but, like, you know, a prince just loved Cinderella.
Yeah.
And then the Cinderella, they're falling in love, and after overcoming a lot of challenges, one person had cancer.
Yeah.
Then it become like a tragedy.
Yeah.
Something like that. But I'm so, like, tired of that. And then I realized my friend really loved this kind of show and become like Chinese version.
This one is really good. In English, they say Nirvana in Fire.
Oh, Lang Ya Bang.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like,
that's a great show.
Oh, so you, wait, is that like just you loved it, or is it just popular in general?
I would say that I'm an exception to the rule. I got exposed to Chinese culture as a young kid, and I've always kind of enjoyed it. And also knowing the differences, you know, between mainland and Taiwan and Hong Kong and Singapore and Malaysia. Overseas Chinese as well too, because we have our own culture here for the Chinese diaspora in Vancouver, in San Francisco, in New York City as well too. It's a different kind of expansion of the tree of Chinese culture.
Oh, what is that? Could you elaborate a little bit? I'm so, interested.
They're in North America, some of the phrases they say are ABC or CBC. So ABC for American-born Chinese, CBC for Canadian-born Chinese.
Right.
There's also a big population in Australia as well, too, in the UK, in London, in France, as well as places, obviously, like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Vancouver, Victoria, BC as well, too, New York City, Boston. And it's where Chinese culture has kind of come together and remained a part of the city for, you know, 100, 200 years kind of thing.
Okay, from what I see, you look like a Caucasian. So how are you, like, even know that much? Like, I'm so amazed.
For me, definitely, you know, my background is Scottish. So Scottish and English and Canadian and American.
Yeah.
But my exposure is definitely through my parents. Both of them traveled pretty far and wide. And my dad has been to Korea, Singapore, Taiwan, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Nanjing, Beijing, and mostly for business, but he would always bring me back things like newspapers from the area or TV shows, or you have music as well too. That's kind of how I first started listening to what they call Mandopop or Taiwanese pop or Mandarin pop.
Right.
I got a Jay Chou CD, so that was
Jay Chou.
Yep. Like, I know that's like old school Taiwanese pop.
No, but like
now,
it was so popular when I went to Los Angeles. Like I think every Chinese restaurant I have ever been, we're playing Jay Chou. Every Chinese restaurant in LA. So I was like really amazed. But now, Jim, I think she's one of the most popular female singer right here. I was like, listen to her song called Wei Yi, like the one, something like that.
Yep.
I would have to play this because I thought that she's really great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I got exposed to both traditional culture and popular culture, which I feel really thankful for, because sometimes when you interact with a culture that's outside of your own, you might get only the brand new stuff, or you might get only the old stuff. But I was very fortunate to be exposed to classical literature in Chinese, Journey to the West as well, Outlaws of the Marsh or Water Margin. And also in my spare time, I'm a musician, I play piano, but I'm really slowly but surely learning how to play the guqin, the qin. And it's very hard.
Like, what is that like? Could you show me a picture real
absolutely
quick?
Absolutely.
我觉得好像说古筝,
right? Yeah, there's the guzheng, and then there's also the guqin.
Guqin? I have an idea. Like, let's see.
So we have...
Oh, that is sort of like guzheng.
Yes, but it doesn't have the bridge in the middle.
Oh, there's a bridge like...
In the guzheng, there's a bridge.
Oh, right,
so there's
right,
a left
like,
and a right side, and you play with your right hand and bend with your left hand. On the guqin, it's just flat.
Oh, then how do you play it?
You pluck with your right hand.
Okay.
And you use your left hand to move along the strings.
I see. So there's a little bit like the horizontal version of guitar.
Exactly.
I feel a little bit stupid,
in
but
English,
like...
In English, they say lap steel guitar or pedal steel guitar is the same kind of idea.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really awesome. Well, I wanted to play this really... How to say it, like typical, the main soundtrack of Black Myth Wukong, where when I heard of it, I was like tearing.
Yeah.
Because it just reminds me all this childhood memory or like feeling, and I have like goosebumps. I'd love to show you guys. Actually, it's the background soundtrack right now, but let's just appreciate it a little bit purely.
Prebiotic diet.
Hello, we're back.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, like we just like talk about the Black Myth Wukong because it was so good. However, there's a limited space for us to talk about Wukong because maybe at one point we need to streaming about like how to play for it, like, right? And I want to introduce a little bit my current background. I am in the AI technology area, so maybe we will find the advanced VR devices to really get us immersed. But yeah, like, let's keep it as a future topic. I'm so excited for it. However, we have another topic that we also wanted to squeeze in today's episode, which is the Chengdu and Chongqing of the Sichuan province. Actually, like, people will kind of yell at me because Chengdu is the capital city of Sichuan province, but Chongqing is the twin cities next to Chengdu. Yeah. So if they say, hey, have you ever like include Chongqing as the city of Sichuan province, they're gonna like beat me. But like, yeah, but you have been to Chengdu,